This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Wei Lian Wiranto, an economist at OCBC Bank, for his read on the Malaysian economy. For now, let's recap how global markets closed on Friday. How did they do, Chuang?
Well, the US markets were closed on Friday because of the 4th of July celebrations, which fell on the following day, Saturday. But in Asia, the Nikkei was up, and so was most of the other bosses. But the most was obviously the Shanghai Comp up by 2%. The Nikkei was up by 0.7%. The Hang Seng was up by 1%. Singapore was up by 0.6%. And of course, in Malaysia, we had to go also up by 1%.
So basically, we followed the pack.
We followed everybody.
Anyway, for some insight into global markets, we speak to Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at ONA. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here.
Yeah, first question. Asian markets, including the Hang Seng, closed in positive territory last week, despite tensions created both domestically and internationally over Hong Kong security law. Now, do you think this rally will continue?
Well, I think the thing here is that money talks, and in Hong Kong, money talks more than anywhere. That's what's built Hong Kong, and I think the initial reaction from the business community has been less protests means less disruption to business, less disruption to transport, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, you know, that's positive for the local market. This is, though, an evolving situation. We saw Canada stop its extradition agreement with Hong Kong over the weekend. And I think this is going to be an evolving situation. The US has passed that law penalizing Chinese officials over the whole thing. President Trump hasn't signed it yet. I've got a feeling, though, that we'll be seeing some more retaliation from that side of the Atlantic this week as well. So in a cold-hearted way, it's positive for equities, but this is still an evolving situation.
Yeah, Jeffrey, explain that situation for us, because that official retraction of Hong Kong's trading privileges by the US government last week obviously does send negative repercussions to Hong Kong's position as a financial centre. But as we just discussed, Shanghai was up by 2% and the Hang Seng was up by 1%. So what explains this dichotomy between sentiment and markets?
Yeah, well, as I've said before, the market can remain irrational longer than you can stay solvent. And you could have been saying that since mid-March of this year. Equity markets work on sentiment, and they are ostensibly forward-looking. So the markets are not pricing what we are seeing on the ground in the here and now today. They're pricing what we're seeing further in the future. And it's a window to the future, so to speak. It's not always correct, I might say. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the underlying theme here around the world is that we've still got these bottomless amounts of central bank money being pumped into the system to keep credits flowing into to stimulate the economy globally. And that is looking for a home in a 0% world. Where does it go? It goes into things like commodities, it goes into property, and it goes into equities. And that's the underlying theme, I think, that we're still seeing. And that's still well and truly intact.
So what does Owenda tell clients then? How do you play the next even 1 month?
I say you have to decide whether you're a long-term investor or someone taking a short-term speculative position. Those two things are quite a different approach to trading, basically. You know, if you're a short intraday trader, these sort of things don't really matter a lot, really. You're interested in the momentum of the day. But I think for long-term investors, you just have to accept that you're going to have a lot more volatility going forward, but that over the course of time, your stock portfolio will appreciate. So, I think it's very much being very grounded in whether you're a long-term investor or whether you're a short-term trader. And, you know, as I said, those are extremely different things.
But Jeffrey, you said that almost every asset class has benefited from the ultra-low rates, but the currency markets have been somewhat stagnant. So what are currency traders seeing that stock markets aren't, actually?
Yeah, well, I guess one thing I was thinking about over the weekend with this particular theme was that the equity markets are seeing an explosion of retail traders entering the markets over the last few months, whereas the currency markets haven't. Those equity accounts are so large in size that they have actually changed sentiment and can move markets. the foreign exchange market is a $5 trillion a day turnover market. It's a much bigger beast. I liken the FX market to like a super tanker. You can't just stop it or turn it. It takes about 20 kilometers to do a turn and about the same to come to a complete halt. So the FX market, I think, is just taking a pause at the moment. I think also this FX market tends to be a lot more circumspect and less less vulnerable to bouts of opportunism. And so they're taking a more circumspect view of the world right now. And you have to remember, we did see quite a big down move in the US dollar against most currencies in the last 1.5 to 1 month. So markets also do tend to pause in the FX markets. They don't tend to have the irrational exuberance, I call it, of equity markets on a day-to-day basis. So I would say that the FX markets being much more driven by professional and institutional flows are taking a pause to wait and see what's next.
Yeah, Jeffrey, glad you mentioned the wall of retail traders out of the Americas. Obviously, the Robin Hood traders. But that wall of money comes to an end, ostensibly, at the end of this month because the unemployment checks also run out. What's your sense of what's going to happen beyond that in terms of the volatility that investors should stomach?
Well, I'm actually not sure if it's really the unemployment checks. I think a lot of it's driven by investors looking to make some money, job insecurity amongst white collar workers, and people being locked up at home in lockdowns with some, you know, trying to kill time. So they've decided to start playing the stock market, you know, and it's so easy to do these days. So I'm not sure it's being driven entirely by the stimulus checks from the United States and other countries. So I think what would be a more profound effect on those volumes is if everybody has to leave home and go back to work in the office and they can't. Yeah. So, but also the other thing is that nobody's really had a big loss thrown at them yet. Yeah, people, if you've bought anything in the last month and a half, 2 months, it's gone up. So there's probably a lot of thoughts around of easy money. Well, there's not been enough two-way price action to bring home the cold, hard realities of life in the markets to many retail traders. I think we're going to need a big downturn, like a quite aggressive correction lower in stocks to drive that reality home and to perhaps send a few of them away licking their wounds.
Meanwhile, if we look at Singapore, right, they are going to have elections this Friday amidst a rather gloomy economic outlook. So I just want to have your view in terms of, do you think the outcome of the polls is likely to affect markets, or how can markets actually go up?
I think the only way that the elections will affect markets in Singapore is if the PAP doesn't win. And I just can't conceive of that outcome, despite some of the unhappiness amongst the electorate in Singapore. And a situation like this with a big recession and a global downturn and COVID-19, yada, 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 they'll go for a steady hand. They'll go for something tried and trusted, and that will be the PAP. So I would expect no real reaction in markets over this election unless the PAP, by some chance, manages to lose the election, or we get a situation where there's a big swing in the GRCs. I won't bore you with those details. And we come very close to a very much more evenly balanced parliament.
Yeah, bringing it back home to Malaysia, Jeff, Bank Negara's MPC meets tomorrow. What do you see them do in terms of the interest rate direction?
This one's quite interesting. It universally expected, including myself, that they'll cut by another 25 basis points tomorrow afternoon. Now, inflation in Malaysia has been -3% or thereabouts over the last 2 or 3 months, due, of course, to the downturn from COVID-19. I do think there's actually a better than even chance they might cut by 0.5% tomorrow. They might go a bit harder than everybody expects them to. And the reason for that is that the currencies are strengthened again, and there is quite a strong downturn in Malaysia, and the Bank Negara does have some monetary policy ammunition still left in the ammo tank. So they do have the capacity to cut hard if they need to without endangering the ringgit at this stage. And that's due to the dollar sell-off over the last, it was about 2.5-3 weeks ago.
And that was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Oanda. But you know, when you're talking about Singapore, what's interesting is, like you say, the elections, they're happening at the week, and the internet is playing a much bigger role in the campaigning. So, you know, in the era of social distancing, Singapore parties have actually now just moved online.
Yeah, obviously, that's not surprising. But with social media also being very, very personal, Twitter means everybody reads your tweets if you are following them. And Instagram also is very, very, very personal. Same with Facebook. And I don't know why politicians haven't really embraced social media platforms earlier, because they're so effective.
Well, I think it's going to be the new normal, right? How will America face elections in November? Because if we don't have a vaccine by then, I think you can see Trump moving onto social media. His rally was a complete failure, you know. But anyway, up next, we'll be discussing projections for the Malaysian economy with Weilian Wiranto, economist at OCBC Bank. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.